Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
It has gone 7:50 Central African time, at the time of the morning, where we join Councillor Ahmad Parak. And Alhamdulillah, Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners on a very nice, fine, cloudy Sunday morning, Shafaq.
Yeah, before you came on air, a good friend of yours sent me a text. He reckon, hey, Bruce Chef, please ask Munro, where's the sinkers today? I feel for a hot bowl of it. where will you get the sinkers today, Ahmad?
I don't know. Today, there's no, I don't know where it is today, so therefore I cannot comment, Shafat.
Hey, but your chummies, you got some funny chummies. They're asking us on international radio, I must ask you where the sinkers are. So anyway, people, there's no sinkers around. Ahmad reckon he hasn't got any invitations there where he can give you Aam Dawat. Yeah, that you need an... You remember those days of Aam Dawat, Ahmad? Tell the people about it. What was Aam Dawat all about?
Aam Dawat meant that, you know what, whoever wants to come, they can come. There's no restriction whether you've got a family of five, whether you've got a family of 20. Come, that's whatever is there, you eat and you go. That's what Aam Dawat was all about. And there's a barakat with that Aam Dawat was, Shafat. When you went, when there's somebody told you it was Aam Dawat, you know, the barakat automatically, whoever the cook was, whatever they're preparing, and when they finished, they always took home with them. You know, some of them were very poor family that came for that Aam Dawat. They come there, Shafat, they got for the whole week. They know they're okay with the chow and all that. Whatever was there, they took that to last them for another week. So, barakat comes from that Aam Dawat. But today, they will select A, B, and C from that family. Only one from that family, husband and wife. From that family, only take the son. Shafat, kya karenga abhi, Shafat?
Yeah, and we got that other chummy in his boot. He's got the Tupperwares, you know, all these ice cream, 2 liters. Hey, any function, it can be. Hey, quietly, no one looking either, but those are looking at him. He's got a name for it, and he's filling it up with the rice and the dal and the soji and the kachumbar.
That is wrong now. That is stealing now. That I don't like.
No. We don't lie, but we must tell the brother. We're watching him. We know who you are. Please stop it. Ahmad, on a more serious note, what's the latest on Kafan Dafan?
Alhamdulillah, Shafat, there is no issues or anything. And that recent meeting that took place in Durban regarding the township funerals, township mayats, township facilities in terms of burial for the black Muslims, that was very, very successful about a month ago now. The report was out, what they have to do and how they have to do things there, how they can identify land, identify Gusalkana, identify people who will be able, competent enough to run a burial service in, like how we have set up Mashu recently. Then you go into the other rural areas, other areas in the black township. So that will eliminate the pressure from our burial services. So they will be self-sufficient. We will do proper training, give them the skill that how to run a burial service, get them involved with the government entities, where they will, how to go and release the bodies from the mortuaries, how to become a registrar when you can sign the BI 1616-3 form, how the police, you need to get a case number, how to register the death with the Home Affairs. All this is a package where we will be able to roll it out to the people in the mainly black township, where there's a lot of Muslims at the moment. So the idea is to make them self-sufficient, Shafat, and that is it. And they, from there to next to that, wherever they bring the Gusalkana, if they got another land or a house where you can buy that and put a tuck shop and open a madrasa, make it self-sufficient so that they don't have to go out to look for money. When they got ghusals, they got to renovate that area, they can collect money from that tuck shop, whatever proceeding comes from there, they will be able to then keep that institution alive in terms of painting, making sure the thing is running. They got staff there who will be able to maintain that facility and all of that. That's what our aim and object is. Inshallah, we're going into the right direction. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, what you did for our black Muslims? You had so many of them. You got 55 million black Muslims in South Africa. Did you give them da'wah? This is the way of giving da'wah. Like I can tell you an experience that I had in Transkei. We're doing one mayat. The one person from that family accepted Islam, but it was a Ladida family accepted Islam. And when we were doing that burial, fortunately, I was en route to East London at that time. And I was called to also assist in that mayat. And then I went and saw how our grave was dug when the family came with the 4x4s, BMWs, Mercedes, all the top cars they had there when they came to the cemetery. And we load the the family member down. There was two other brothers and two sisters. Shafat, you won't believe it, after we did everything, we closed the cupboard, one brother asked, how also we can accept Islam? Then the brothers told him, you come and meet me Zohar time, certain time, we will be able to speak to the Maulana. The entire family accepted Islam by just virtue of seeing how simple, easy way that we do the mayat, and that's how they accepted Islam. And the brothers were talking. He said, this brother of mine was a very, very simple, this thing. He loved the religion of Islam. He was talking to us. We didn't take heed. But today we saw for ourselves how simple. The same, if he didn't accept Islam and we had to bury him the Christian way, this funeral today should have cost us nothing under 200,000 shabbat.
No, absolutely, Ahmad. I'm looking at a message on the screen here. Rahim says, Assalamu alaikum, Bru Ahmad. I'm thinking deeply about that X-ray machine you spoke about, the autopsy machine you spoke about. I'm wondering if we as a Muslim community get the machine in, wouldn't the government put pressure on us that we must use the machine for all others also? What is your thoughts there, Ahmad? That's a very good question there, Ahmad.
Shafan, our brother is 100% right far as that is concerned. We are saying that machine, what we're putting, and first, you know, after doing all our research, it did take us about almost 2 years we've been talking about it. Then when I went in January, when I was in the UK, and I, you know, did more research from there, and I got some more documentation, that same machine, it is made in South Africa. You know, not the same, it's just, when I say same machine, similar machine to that, it can do, in fact, got more features than the machine that what we're supposed to have brought from the UK, India, or Germany. That machine can do the work here in South Africa. What we have in mind is we will then give that service to the government as well. So, in fact, eventually, the idea behind this whole thing will be the mortuary will be still functioning, but they will only do the removals. In other words, they go to IE, they go to pick up from the hospital, bring it to the mortuary for storage purposes. That I'm talking about non-Muslim bodies now. They bring it and they put it into the fridges for, they do the registration and they'll put it in the fridge. The next day, they normally do the post-mortem or three, four days later, because depend on when they want to do the burial. Then we got our Muslim bodies, which will come, that will go into our facility direct, and the x-rays and all will be done, and that body will be released quicker than what is being done at the moment. But even if you've got a Muslim body and you've got a brother passed away in Spark Road, the facility is such that we don't get involved in that. The South African police will come out there, Metro police will come out there because of road closures in case there's an accident there. Then the investigating officer will come there, the photographer will come there, take all whatever necessary steps has to be taken in terms of protocol. All that will be taken place there. The body will be removed with the Department of Health to the mortuary. The proper identification will be done where the family will go there, the immediate family will go there, the next of kin will go there to do the identification. all that, once all that has been done, then the body is get transferred into our facility for the X-ray purpose. Can be Indian, white, black, whoever, that facility will be open, but obviously with a fee. So we are busy working. That's what we are doing at the moment, working with the Department of Justice and the Department of Health. In government, there's two entities, Shafat, must remember. When it comes to post-mortem, one, you got the department, three actually entities. One, you got Public Works, who own the property of the mortuary or the police station or Home Affairs. All that is Public Works. Then you get the Department of Health does all the picking up of the body, taking it to the mortuary from the hospital, roads, accident scene, drowning, or whatever it is. They come in, they pick up after the protocol, everything has been done by the police. Then it goes to the government mortuary. The third entity is, that is where the major problem that we face is the doctors. Now, the doctors comes under the auspices of the Department of Justice. So they're not linked up with the, they only use the facility of the Department of Health, but they're not based there. They only come there to do the postmortem. They go back to Albert Luthuli, where their head office is, and Mayville, they got another head office there. Wherever their head office is, they operate from there. So they don't stay, they don't even have an office at any one of the mortuaries. Once the postmortem is done, they take the file and then they will do the report. It'll go to Pretoria for proper registration, get Pretoria. Then you can pick up your death certificate from the Home Office. So this is how the whole entity works. So what we are saying is simple. We have the facility. We will then assist the government in terms of turning around the way that they are doing it at the moment, and the cost factor will also come less, because now you're giving quicker service to the community as well.
You know, Ahmed, I recall this. Once there was a battle there in Zaire, and who do you think won the fight? But I got another take, Ahmed. Once there was a battle there in Itikweni, and who do you think saw the fight? Yeah, our very own Councillor Ahmed Barak. Ahmed, talk to us about the tamasha that took place in Itikweni this week, Ahmed.
You want me to answer both the questions or what?
You're a master. You can do what you like. Go for it.
The first question is, Muhammad Ali won the fight in Zaire, right? The second one is the question of what happened in council on this week was the EFF. We're very, very disturbed with all the other parties, excluding the ANC. The problem is, Safad, there was 1.2 billion rand that was allocated for flood relief, for last year's flood relief. That money came into our coffers, and that money was returned back to the national government because it was not utilized. Now, one or two things we suspect here. The ANC couldn't put their hands on that money, therefore they didn't have any plan, because we are like hawks at the moment, watching every single move, what is happening in council. You know what we have done in the last 2 months ago, we brought the IEC down to his knees. They don't know what to do, because they took the money, 5.4 million. They want to make the citizen of and the citizen of Durban pay via rate for the Women's League, ANC Women's League. We put a stop to that. So they're in trouble there. Then we are in court with a raw suit. They're in trouble there. We've got so many court issues at the moment, Shafat. It's unbelievable. We're blocking everything. They wanted to have the summer games now for December. 28 million. We wrote to Ramaphosa and we made him stop that summer games because we don't have money. Shafat, as we speak, we got money, 9 billion on investment, but that money is not going to last us. If we do not collect revenue in terms of electricity, light, rates, and whatever revenue we need to collect in the next 6 months, what happened in America, you must be heard this morning, breaking news. Citizen Bank is gone under. This is the third bank in America went under liquidation. So internationally, in America, America is in international sacrat. There is big problems there. Now, if you link that two together, you'll know exactly why they have started the problem in Palestine. So you know, read in between the lines. That will today's bank issue will now you'll get your answer for the issue in Palestine. What is happening? So far as the EFF actually didn't start the fight. What they demanded, you see, in council, you have the speaker. Whatever you want to say, you go via the speaker. You cannot attack ANC, DA, Action SA, or anybody. If you want to attack us, you go via the speaker. They say, like, if I want to say anything, I put my board up, Ahmed Farah's board there, and we will say the speaker. Then he will recognize you, and then he will tell you, yes, Farouk. He called me Farouk. I have recognized you. So you bring your name tag down. So once he has recognized you, then you tell him that, you know what, that's what EFF done. EFF told the speaker, one, we want the city manager to be released out of this meeting with immediate effect. Why? Because he knew about it. He did nothing about it. Two, the city mayor, Kaunda, should go leave this chamber immediately because we want to debate this issue, why they have that money got withdrawn from the city's coffers. Now, 1.2 million, you know how much of things we could have sorted here? We could have sorted all the road potholes. We could have sorted the raw sewer. We could have brought jetting machines. If it was me, Shafaz, I'll bring 10 of the best jetting machine in the city here and start from one. We got 11 regions. I put one or buy 11 in that one. Instead of buying 10, I will buy 11 top Mercedes-Benz vehicle with the proper compressor, everything, and then give it to each region. So yeah, in Tegwini, you might need two or three. So maybe we buy more, but we will give each region one. Yes, that is the starting point. And tell him, right, you man this thing here, clean all your raw soup, get those pipes cleaned up, flush them, all that. That machine can do everything because it's got a 40,000 liter tank as well. It can clean up, it can suck everything, it can do everything. So get those state-of-the-art machine, sort that out. Sort your potholes out and sort your electricity out. Shafat, once you give these three things to the community, they will salute you, Shafat, because the money was there. The money has now gone back to national government. This is the problem. This is where the problem started with EFF and the speaker. Now, they demanded that the city manager leave that chamber. Now, what happened? In terms of the rule, we cannot remove the city manager from the chamber. You have to follow the due process. So that is another issue. So these guys started singing and all that. You know, EFF, if they don't get their way, they start toying in the chamber. So they call the Metropolis, and that's the biggest mistake they made, because in terms of the rule, if you're in ICC, ICC is supposed to have provided its own security. Failing which, then only, but when we saw that there was only two ICC security guards there, there was not enough. They called upon Metropolis. Now, Metropolis was manhandling a woman. And you ever seen Shafat, you will be shocked. A woman gave one Metropolis 5 bob on that guy's face. That guy went lying down on the ground. So now when you, and they're clever, Shafat. What they do is, when they toy, and when these law enforcement come, the men will stand back. They put the woman folk in a room because now they put them in, they will, because you, a male cannot manhandle a woman and all that in terms of the rule and turn of the law. So these police officers, instead of bringing more female and to bring law and order, they brought more male security officers. And these guys, this Metropolis was mishandling the female EFF members there. So that's where it happened. So we had to adjourn. And as soon as they had to leave the chamber, then we reconvened again. That's what happened in the meeting, at the council meeting on Tuesday at the ICC Shabbat.
You know, Ahmed, whilst you're talking, and you know, many are maybe thinking like me, how much of the, you know, rates and taxes money, or the, what's the salary bill like at the Itikweni? Perhaps 80% of the money that is raised in rates and taxes and all that goes into salary, and the type of people that are you know, employed are not up to scratch, are not up to standard. How are they sourced out, and how are they, you know, interrogated before they get their jobs? And, you know, then why does the Itikweni give out, you know, outside contract when the municipality supposed to have its own inside, you know, members are going and doing the work? But now they have to call people from outside who generally at some times, I mean, the vehicle they come in with, the vehicle needs repairs instead of the street lights. Ahmed, your thoughts?
100%. Shabbat, you know, firstly, what the biggest mistake they made over the years, they took skilled, proper, trained staff, and they brought their old cronies in. Now, when you bring that, they bring, in other words, bring in Tom, Dick, and Harry to do that work. They can't do the work. They don't know how to do the work. And if you go into council, from the 200 chamber council, we got 60% is blacklisted in council. 40 or 50% do not have motor vehicles, and he is a ward councillor. How can a ward councillor service that ward and the community have put him in place there, voted for him, and he don't have a vehicle? So this is the problem. Now, how is he going to be able to function? He has to go to the meetings at council level. He has to go to the what in one area you might have 3-4 places he's got a problem. People want to see him. People want, they have voted him, they want to ask him questions. We want service delivery. We're not having light. Why our water has been disconnected for 2 weeks? All this information, but the poor fella there now, he's a ward councillor, don't have vehicle, can't do anything. What can he do? He comes to the Uber, he waits for a taxi. 10 o'clock meeting, he pitches at 12 Shabbat. That's it. Secondly, most of the vehicles, if you go to our repair shop in council, we must have anything in the region of about 700 vehicles. To change one tire will take them 3 months. One tire, left-hand side tire, I saw 3 months. I asked the superintendent there, why is this vehicle here? It's looking clean. It's looking, is there, no, it came for tire. We don't have the manpower to do change the tire. Or they don't have the funding to change that tire because the problem is with the rim. Now, how can you function like that? You take out good people and you put them with people that cannot work, cannot run the city, who are there. They're wasting our time. They're wasting taxpayers' money. This is what I was saying. Now, you know, that is the more reason I had to come on 2021. You know, when after I saw what was happening, people told me, guys like yourself, Mufti Saab, all the Molanas and all, say, you know, I'm going to go there, see you make a difference, go and fight us for the community. But I was fighting from the outside for 30 odd years. Now I have to go. But when you went there, when I went inside and saw Shafat, what is happening? Oh, boy, you don't want to know. It is in a mess. It will take us, even if we put in a new government, in national government and the province, there will be massive changes next year. In the city, we still, what we got, will take us another, with this, the current councillors from the ANC and the municipal staff, we need to replace them with proper staff where you'll be able to do a proper due diligence, get the right audit company to make sure that fella has got a right certificate. If he says he's good in media, he has worked for Channel Islam International or Marcus Sahaba or Radio Al-Hamstar or anything, find out from those people. If he put it in his CV, he has worked for them. Do a follow-up. How long he worked there? Why did he leave there? Why did he skip from there and join so-and-so? All that information we need, and before you bring them on board, and that's those people will be able to make a big difference to the city, and you will start saving money in the city. you will, you know, because four people are working for one job. You would only need maybe two. So you'll start saving money and you'll get the right people doing the work. And the city can come right, because this city was the second best city in the world. I can't see why it can't come right. In the old days, Carlton Center in Joburg, the state-of-the-art hotel was owned by the city. If you take Maharani Hotel and you take Ilangini Hotel, it's owned by the land, it's owned by the city. There's so much it is. Prime properties we owning in this country. If you go to the waterfront, magic place you'll see there. But we delay. Cape Town beat us. Other places are beating us. And in fact, by now we should have had the tourists. We could have our city clean, everything. Because we haven't put our act together, that's why we are in this position today, Shafan.
Yeah, Jazakallah for that. I'm looking at a message from Umar. He says, Jazakallah khair, Blue Chef. And Ahmad already enjoyed the segment. I noticed on Wednesday, hundreds of retrenched presidential employment program workers attempted to storm the Durban City Hall in protest. They were demanding that their contracts be reinstated by the eThekwini municipality after the program was abruptly terminated on Sunday, 29th October. Some of the workers who had been absorbed by various non-governmental organizations in September also had their contract terminated. What is going on? It seems as if when the municipality can't pay the people, then it is falling on the ordinary citizens of eThekwini. This is not fair. We are already burdened with high taxes and rates. Ahmad, how do you respond to Umar there?
Shafat, the issue on that was we push at the city, most of the contracts outsourcing must be cancelled when we must bring it in-house. The problem is, at the moment, the city don't have money. So if you're giving a contract for cleaning, a cleaning service in the whole of Sligo Beach, you can say, right? They need 50 people. We say 50 people, but we're getting invoice for 150 people. So there is no checks and balance in terms of that is concerned. That is the reason, one of the things, that the city had to make a decision and cancel that. The other issue is, When you give, in terms of Section 36, they wait for Section 36, they wait for disasters to happen in the city so that they can now start looting. In terms of Section 36, in Shafat, now you don't have to bring it before the full council. You can spend the money and just then tell them, we use 2 million rand to put one pump in Tongat. Yet the pump was only 500,000. So you can't debate it or anything. That the rule in that Section 36 allows you to go and spend that money to make sure to get that thing done. And if you bring an invoice for 2 million, you can't do anything. That is the biggest problem we are faced with. Now, the thing is this, we are saying if the security, we fought and made sure they don't bring outside companies, they must employ their own workforce. So we're in control. We want to know where that security officer went, which site is guarding. We're in control of that. We got a special format that on the 24 hours, how that place is manned, all that we're putting in place. So that way, we are much better in control, because you give it outsourced, they say, no, now it's not my problem, it's Shafat Ahmad Khan's problem. That's what they're doing, Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmad, I'm looking at Rasood. He says, on that same point, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, of what Umar made, the workers that demanded a mayor, Ikuluisi Kaunda, address them. But the mayoral advisor, Imlungusi Intombela, came out to accept the memorandum. He said that some of the issues had already been discussed during a council meeting on 31st October. He says they hope that Treasury would fund the program again. So, in other words, Ahmad Parak, the Treasury said they will refund the program. What is happening? Are they talking with forked tongues? How do you respond to Rasool there, Ahmad?
Shafat, let me tell you about our honorable mayor. You see, on this rate, you know how sharp they were, Shafat. They went to all the ratepayers' association, Chatsworth, Phoenix, Amslanga, wherever they called them, he was ready to go. He took his team and he was going there. And when he put his affidavit, when the case was dismissed in court with cause, he put an affidavit to say, you know what, hold on. I have already engaged with all the ratepayers association, but the act makes it very, very clear. You cannot hold the money of the municipality. And if there was a problem, they called me out. I went and engaged him. See how sharp he was. So this is where the problem is. Now, what happens is, when the heat is on, they will then step back, the mayor will step back, then he will send his deputy there. Or he will send one of his chief staff from his department to go and collect, because he knows he's going to get a bashing. That's what they do. And he is a very forked tongue, you 101% right there. He will use you to the core. He will tell you, no, you Muslim, don't worry. We will do A, B, C, D. We will assist the community here. We will do this, that, and all that. Once he got you on his side, Shafat, now I heard recently, he's now mobilizing. You know what? Our people don't, and they will not understand and how the ANC works. What they do is, they know there's a big following of DA and HNSA is a growing party with IFP. These are the three major parties is coming very strong. All right, DA is losing his touch, but the two front runners at the moment, Shafat, on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute, is HNSA and IFP. They got confidence in these two parties at the moment. Because one, we're taking the municipality head on. Two, what they are going to do now, they will split you. Because now they see there is a big following of these two parties is growing very, very fast. Then they will get one Joe Block. He says, hold on, come. We are the ruling party at the moment in the city. Talk to us. What's your problem? A, B, that fellow will tell him A, B. Now he will get sunk into that fellow's sweet talk. Don't worry. You got the following. How many Muslim brothers you know? How many, what can you do? You can do A, B, C, D, and all. Don't worry. We'll find the money for you. So he's splitting the Muslim vote, and he's going to put another party. You'll see in the next 2 to 3 weeks, another party is going to be formed. Write it on the wall. I'm telling you what's going to happen, Shafat. And that is going to be a problem for us, because now he's going to split the Muslim votes, and they know what will happen. HNSA and IFP will get some, and he's going to take some. So instead of leaving these two parties to make sure they get most of the Muslim votes in the Durban and surrounding, so we can fight the ANC, we can fight the government. Now they split it. This is what they do. They use this is the old method of, if I don't like you, what you do, you put it, you know, in Gujarati, you say chingari, put a spark there and walk away. So this is what they're doing at the moment. And our people, our community is falling for this, because he come and sweet talk, he will do a little bit something for you and say, Awa, you can see what, you know, I got the contact. I can do this, do that. In the end, once he got you by the knuckle, then he'll tell you, Assalamu alaikum.
You better be careful there, as Ahmad said, the chingari is around. Hey, not the Chingalans, and you be careful of all that. Ahmad, one more question here from a brother. He says, I heard about the construction mafias, but what about RDP houses that haven't been completed? Was this a contract given to the same scoundrels, the construction mafias? Ahmad?
No. Construction mafias has got nothing to do with the RDP houses. What happens when they're putting up? Construction mafias only come when you're putting the foundation. That's when they wait for you to lay the concrete first. When you lay the concrete, they will come to Shafat Ahmed Khan's house. You can say, hey, you're putting 18 flats here. Oh, Baba, you need to hold on. You know, this is how these things work. You're employing one. Are you employing local South African? And then you say, no, this is, I gave it to ANA Construction. Then you say, hold on. Let me call my architect, who gave this thing, and my QS, bring those two there. There's Shafat Ahmed Khan, now get together with his QS, call his architect. He said, now you talk to my this construction mafia, and they'll say, you know what, hold on. You know, you can't put this building up. You know, you have to pay us tax. You tell him, hey, hold on, what tax are you talking about? Islamic tax, we pay zakat, government tax, we're paying our tax. We have registered as a tax vendor. We are also paying personal tax. We're doing all that. He said, no, hold on. You need to pay our tax now by putting this thing up here because you're using our people. So then that's where the problem comes. And then if they don't get their way, then you bring the red ants to keep them away. It will cost you money. Then they will say, okay, now you brought red ants for us, so we want to bring the berets. They bring the red berets. Now they will go to the red berets and tell them, hey, hold on. You see that site there by Shafat Ahmad Khan putting 18 flats there? That guy is employing illegal immigrants. He's not giving South Africans the opportunity. So those guys want to come and start making toy by use. This is how this whole system works.
Yeah, Ahmad, and you're giving a dire warning to those that are perhaps doing that now. Be careful. So you're forewarned by Councillor Ahmad Parak. How about your parting words this morning?
Shafat, in 2 weeks' time, we have opened up the voter registration. In Stingo Beach, you'll find at the Stingo Beach School, you'll find at the Civic Hall, and I think these are the two major ones. I'm not sure. Yeah, in Stingo Beach, these are the two major ones. I plead to our communities, go and register. And if you don't want to go there physically, go online, register. Don't cry after that and say, you know what, hey, we got these counselors. The counselors, they're not doing anything. They're getting flat salary from the council. They're not doing anything. What the counselor has done, the counselor haven't done this, right? Don't cry. If you want to cry, first you must go and register. Then cry and come to me and say, you know what, I have voted. Whether you voted for me or whoever you voted for, I have voted. Now I want service delivery. So if every one of us go online and go on that 18 and 19 to go and get ourselves registered, and females also on Voters Day next year sometime, you don't even have to go to the polling station. We can make special arrangement. You will be able, we'll get IEC to come to your house because you ladies are in Parda or whatever it is. Two ladies will come there and you must vote for whichever party you want. Shafat, this is very, very important. It is a must, I'm saying. Go and get ourselves organized. And lastly, before I leave, Shafat, there's a facility in place for all NGOs. If you are an NGO, if you have a problem in terms of your documentation or anything, come through to me. I'm prepared to help you. There is some facilities in council. I will tell you, then make that application. You will be able to save some money as well, Shafat.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmad. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.